Baptism is a ceremony in which the Christian takes part once. It's like an initiation ceremony and is not to be repeated. However, there is a ceremony which Christ gave his disciples which the church has repeated over and over again. This is the Lord's Supper. Like baptism, it was commanded by the Lord himself. I'd like to read where the Lord's Supper was instituted in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22 and verse 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I shall not eat it until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he received a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say unto you, I shall not drink from henceforth of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and gave to them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And the cup in like manner after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, even that which is poured out for you. Now this is the institution of the Lord's Supper. It took place at the Passover. The Lord Jesus had gathered with his disciples, and he said, I've been looking forward to this time, this last Passover, together with you. And he knew that before this night was finished, before morning came, that he would have been apprehended, he would be dragged away like a common criminal, he would be facing trial, and before another day passed, he would be hanging on a cross, bleeding, dying. And so his heart is rather heavy as he's with his disciples. There are many things he wants to tell them. There are burdens on his heart as he's facing the suffering of the cross. And he says, I've desired to eat this Passover with you. I've been looking forward to this. And then during the course of the meal, he takes a loaf, a small loaf of bread in his hand. He breaks it after he's given thanks, and he passes it to them. And he says, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And then he takes a cup. And he does the same thing. He says, This cup is a new covenant in my blood, that which is poured out for you. And he tells them all to drink of it. And they pass the cup from hand to hand. The Lord Jesus commanded his disciples to do this. He said, This do in remembrance of me. And so right from the beginning here, from the institution, the disciples realize this is something he wants us to do. And if we love him, if we want to please him, then we want to remember him in the way that he has commanded us to do. The Lord's command. Now let me add this. It is only for believers. It's obvious that if you're not a Christian, if you don't love the Lord Jesus, if you've never accepted him as your Savior, it's obvious you can't remember him. It's obvious that just partaking will be meaningless to you. You must come to know him and love him as your Lord and Savior before you can truly remember him. And so this feast, this remembrance time, is for true Christians, and certainly not just for any who may think, well, I would like to feel religious or anything like this. Now, what are the elements that the Lord used? He took a loaf. This loaf, he says, represents my body. Now, it's obvious he didn't mean it was physically his body. He was there physically himself. They could reach over and touch his body. As he offered the loaf to them, it's obvious that he was not saying, This is physically my body, but this represents my body. Because the very idea, of course, of eating his body physically was an abhorrent thing. This would be cannibalism. But he says, this loaf now here is going to picture my body. And as he breaks it, as he tears it apart, it's picturing the tearing, the suffering that his own body was to go through. Oh, how the Lord Jesus was going to suffer before another 24 hours passed. He would be flogged, he'd be beaten, until his back was raw and bleeding. He would know what it was to have a crown of thorns upon his head and pierce his brow. He would know what it was to have nails driven through his hands and through his feet. He would know what it was to finally have a spear driven into his side, of course, this after he was dead. But nevertheless, his body broken, his body torn, his body suffering. And so the loaf here, as it's taken and as it's torn apart, pictures that tearing, that suffering of the Lord Jesus, his physical body, the suffering it went through. But the loaf also, for us that are Christians, speaks to us of his spiritual body. And you remember Paul in 1 Corinthians 10 brings this out. In verse 17, we being many are one loaf, one body. And so as a Christian, as I look at this loaf, I'm reminded that here, this represents also the fact that all true believers have been brought together and are one body in the Lord Jesus. We belong to him. We love him. And it matters not color, race, any of these things. In the Lord Jesus, all of these distinctions are gone. We're brothers, we're sisters, we belong to the same family in Christ, one body. And so we look at the loaf and we remind ourselves of this. The cup. The Lord Jesus looked upon that cup of wine. What a picture of his blood. Now, in Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11, it says, the life of the flesh is in the blood. He says, I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement. And so here, the life, the very life of the person, was symbolized in blood. As the sacrifice was slain, as its blood ran down the altar, the life was being given. This was symbolizing the fact that because of sin, there must be a payment, there must be a penalty, there must be judgment. And the Lord Jesus says, this cup now is going to picture my blood. And there's a new covenant in my blood. All who have accepted me as Lord and Savior are going to know what it is to be brought into this relationship with God. We would speak of it as a covenant relationship with him, based on the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we look at the cup, and as we partake, we realize this represents the blood of my Savior. This represents the blood that he shed on the cross in order that I might be saved. His life was poured out. His blood ran down that cross and seeped into the earth, and his life was given for me. The Lord Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. Now, as we think of remembering, we remind ourselves of this, that there is no value in the ritual itself. There's no value for a person in itself of partaking of the loaf or of drinking from a cup. This will not save you. It will not keep you saved. It will not help you at all in itself. It is only of value as it stirs you to remember, to contemplate, to ponder the death of the Lord Jesus. And so as we partake of the Lord's Supper, it should be a time of remembrance, a time when we're stirred to real thought. We dare not sit passively. We'll get no help. We'll get no blessing. The blessing will come to our hearts as we fondly go back, we remember how he suffered, we remember his wonderful person, his life, we remember the fact that although he died, he was raised, he's living, we must remember him. This do in remembrance of me. How often should we do this? Well, the Lord Jesus said, as often as you do it. He did not state an exact time. And of course, the church in certain circumstances may not be able to have a set time. But the early church certainly realized it was an important part, a central part of their worship. And so perhaps in the very first days, they may have even had this remembrance time daily in their homes. Acts 2:46 might indicate this. But as time went on, and they met at least once a week together as Christians on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, this occupied a part of their activity. There was teaching, there was prayer, there was fellowship. But there was the breaking of bread, or the Lord's Supper, the same meaning, and this was something they did weekly. Acts 20 and verse 7 points out the fact that the Christians there came together to remember the Lord on the first day of the week. And we believe that from the scripture itself and from earliest church history, there's clear indication that the church remembered the Lord Jesus in this way, every week on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. And there's still great blessing for all Christians who will do this. I hope it's a part of your life as a believer. The Lord Jesus said to us that we're to do this until he comes. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul, as he's writing there, says, as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Till he comes. We're doing this until he comes. A right attitude is needed. We must put away sin. We must love him. We must be fervent. We must be earnest. We can't be hypocrites as we do this. And as we do this, we're looking forward to the time when the Lord Jesus is coming back. And we're going to see him, because as Christians, we love him. Christianity is not just believing a creed. It's coming to know and love the person of the Lord Jesus himself. And so, it's until he comes. And as we partake, we remember he's coming back again. Let me read a verse or two of a hymn here that brings this out. Sweet feast of love divine, 'tis grace that makes us free. To feed upon this bread and wine in memory, Lord, of thee. Oh, if this glimpse of love is so divinely sweet, what will it be, O Lord, above, thy gladdening smile to meet? He's coming back. We long for that time. We look forward to that time. We love him, whom having not seen, ye love. Christian, I hope that you appreciate the value of the Lord's Supper. I hope that as you have opportunity to remember him in this way, your heart will flow up to him in love and praise and worship. He's a wonderful Savior to have.